Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is The Passion of the Christian. And one of the things that if you watch enough TV, you see this stuff, there seems to be this misconception that if you become a Christian, if you give your life over to God, you will never suffer again. And I'm going to read a few of these, but I'm telling you, the New Testament, the Old Testament, it's replete. This book is replete with reminders and warnings and just trying to let people know either way you're going to suffer. And one thing that the Passion of the Christ took care of was death, eternal separation from God. But it did not stop the enemy from using physical death that is coming to all of us unless Jesus comes back. You are going to die. Someone you know is going to die, and you are going to have pain that is associated with that. Now look with me, if you will, at Luke chapter 9, verse 18 and following to begin with. And it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" So they answered and said, "John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets has risen again." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God, the Messiah of God," acknowledged that he is the anointed one that they had waited for. Now look at verse 21. And he strictly, this is Jesus, and he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one. Now the whole point now is to tell everybody. But for some reason, Jesus says to them, don't tell anybody right now who I am. But he gives them some insight as to what's coming his way and their way. He strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things." Now you would think these guys knew what was coming after just this verse alone. He tells them specifically, he says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed." And then let me point this out. The Passion of the Christ is not just his death. He suffered many things before he ever died. And be killed and be raised the third day. He tells them the whole deal. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be raised the third day. That's the sequence that's coming, guys, in the next few days. Be ready. Don't say I didn't tell you. Don't go telling anybody who I am right now. But here's what's coming. Verse 23, then he said to them all, after he's told them where he's going and what it's going to cost him, he says, "If anyone desires to come after me, if you want to come and go where I'm going, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." It's a basic thing in the New Testament and being a Christian. Part of being a Christian is this passion, this suffering of the Christian. You are going to hurt if you choose to obey God in any and every category of your life. At some point, there's going to be pain. If your body says, "Feed me," and you feed your body what you need to eat, and your body keeps saying, "Come on, bring it on, a little more," and you say, "You know what, we've had enough, no, three pieces of pie is too much," then your body's going to say, "But I want more." Your flesh will scream at you. Talk to somebody who's trying to quit smoking. You want some pain? Follow that person around. Some of the godliest people I know struggle, and they are praying and trying everything in their power just to quit smoking. But the physical withdrawals, just the habit of it, the process of it, it is terribly painful. You say, "Well, they all just quit." You all just quit your stuff too then. If it's that easy, anytime you try to stop doing something where God has said, this has got to go, not other judgmental Christians trying to tell you how to live, but the Holy Spirit Himself saying, look, this has got to go to be the Christian that I want you to be, to live the pure, holy life that I'm trying to get you to live. This has got to go. And you say, God, but it hurts. And He says, well, my discipline, if you don't obey me, is going to hurt a lot more than this. The consequence of not obeying is coming. Do the right thing. But it is still a painful process that unfolds. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Where did He go? He went to the cross. Now, it didn't end there. He was raised from the dead. But part of following Him could literally end up in you dying for what you believe. And you say, well, what are you talking about? No one dies. Every day on the planet, hundreds of people die for no other reason but that they refuse to denounce Jesus Christ as Lord. They will not back down. And they will not bow to anybody or anything else. And they die for it. And there's an altar in heaven under which are martyrs that cry out day and night, how long till they are avenged, until God sends His Son back and puts an end to this. They have lost their lives for the sake of the cross, the Christ. So verse 23 said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? Or whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, a few pages to the right. Paul writing to the Corinthians. Paul had inflicted pain on Christians, and he had had pain inflicted on himself because he was a Christian. Persecutions, he writes about this repeatedly. But in 2 Corinthians, one of these places, chapter 12, verse 10, he says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And he had had a thorn in the flesh and asked God three times to remove this. And God said, you know what? I'm not removing it because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And he said, then I'll keep it. Leave it, because I would much rather have your grace on me and suffer, if that's the best way, then when I'm weak, then that's when I'm strong. So suffering is mentioned there. Philippians 1:29. And this just flat spells it out. I mean, there's no way to misinterpret this. Philippians 1:29, Paul here tells the Philippians, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. A lot of people say, I like the believing in Him. That's great. I got my ticket to heaven once again. But I didn't sign up for any suffering. Let me tell you something. If you decide to become a Christian, count the cost. This is not just some ticket to heaven. He is going to require your life of Him. It required His life to get your life given back to Him. The Scriptures talk about us turning ourselves in as slaves, as servants to God and to each other. It's going to cost you something. You are going to suffer loss. It is going to be painful. It's not going to be easy. Now, is there great joy in it? Unbelievable joy. And are you better off doing what God wants you to do and suffer? Certainly. And there's a passage that deals with this. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters. Now you say, well, you can apply this to a boss and an employee-employer relationship. If your boss is beating you, you're going to sue him before you're going to do what this says. This goes into being beaten by a master and uses these words. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? If you did something wrong and you got beat, that's terrible, but what good is that? You had it coming, so to speak, in that master's eyes. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Now think about what God has provided for and allowed for in this mix. A slave somewhere on the planet. You say, well, thank God that's obsolete. There are slaves in North Africa today. People who have been bought into, sold into slavery, kidnapped. It's going on today. This is not something that's obsolete. Jesus himself, completely innocent, did nothing wrong, beat within an inch of his life before they ever crucified him. And you say, well, God, I'm a slave down here someplace. You don't know what this is like. He has been there. Jesus has been in a situation where people over him, having done nothing wrong, he took it. And imagine what a comfort that is to slaves in this country, in our history, slaves anywhere on the planet who somehow are taught the Word of God and there is no way to get them out of their situation, but they say, you know what, I'm not down here forever anyway. I am going to figure out a way, a godly way, to handle this situation and do what is right before God, whether anybody else gets it or not. Now, it is an extreme example, but the principle applies anywhere to anybody. If you take it patiently, this is commendable before God, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. He is our example. He suffered. He says we're going to suffer. It is part of the deal. 1 Peter 3, go a few pages over, verse 16 and 17. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. In other words, if you're living a godly, righteous life and someone accuses you of evil doing, those who revile your good conduct in Christ will be ashamed, because they go, what are you talking about? This guy's not doing any of this. Why are we persecuting him? Verse 17, for it is better, now listen to this, it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. If you're going to suffer for God's sake, suffer for doing the good thing, the right thing, not the wrong thing. But the implication is, even if you do the right thing, you are going to suffer. You can lose your job for doing the right thing. You are going to be falsely accused. You are going to be persecuted for doing the right thing. You may say, I need Sundays off to go to church, and they may let you go. There's any number of things that can happen. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to suffer. But it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. All right, the second passion of the Christian. And it's the word passion used in the term, in the sense of a drive. What is it that drives you? What is it that moves you? To be driven, for instance, means having a compulsive or urgent quality. Some people are driven by sin, others by a passionate pursuit of holiness. Alfred Lord Tennyson said, "The happiness of a man in this life does not consist in the absence, but in the mastery of his passions." It is a great thing to be passionate, but what is your passion directed at? What are you passionate about? Now, I want you to stop and think a minute. What is it that you are passionate? What is your passion? What is it if somebody said, you can't do this ever again anymore, you'd say, you might as well shoot me. I can't stop. I cannot live this way, not do this in my life. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. This is Paul again writing. Here he's writing to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 16, let's start with verse 13. And he says to them, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done with love. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Acacia, and that they have devoted, the New King James says, you may have that word, but the King James word says, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I think that is an awesome phrase. These are the first fruits of Acacia, the first people to believe, and they have set themselves, they have devoted themselves, they have committed themselves, and I believe passionately, especially if a word like addicted is used, they are set on doing and ministering to the saints, finding out a way to get out of themselves and serve somebody else. Now, let me tell you something, guys. Some of you have not figured this out, and you may never figure this out, and you wonder why Christianity does not max out for you and work out the way you think it's supposed to. It's not just about you. If it's working and you're growing, at some point you are serving. Your hands are not just receiving, they are putting out, they are giving out. And it's not as a good person saying, look what I'm done. It's not helping little old ladies across the street in my name. It's doing everything and whatever I do in His name. Does your life, even if they try to point it to you, is there something about your life where you say, God, it is not me. It is not my life. I am crucified with Christ. I may be alive, but it's not me that lives. It's Christ that lives in me. And whatever glory comes my way, I'll point it to you. It's not about me anymore. I will deny myself. I will take up my cross daily. I will follow you, even if it means death, even if it means laying down, rejecting, not even paying attention somehow to my needs. It's somebody else before me. If the passion of the Christ gets a hold of the Christian, something is going to change. Your passions will change. You'll see people you didn't see. You'll do things you didn't do. And if nothing changes, then that's where people start questioning. If your life is not changed, then something may not have changed in your heart. Or if it did change in your heart, then there's probably some sin that's clogging the thing up that won't allow you to serve. Get the pipes unclogged and get on with it for God's sake, your sake, and everybody else's. Get in the game. Find some passion and let God use that passion, not just to change you, but somebody else. Read it again with me. This 1 Corinthians 16:15. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Acacia, and that they have devoted or addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. For what was lacking on your part, they supplied. For they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. And then look down in verse 22. He says, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. And it's interesting, if you look in the original language, he only uses the last two words of the sentence are anathema and then maranatha. It's almost a play on words if you're reading it in Greek, but he says simply, anathema, let him be accursed. And the other phrase is, even so, come Lord, or come Lord Jesus. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, and how could they not when they understand how much he loved them and how much he loves us? Look at 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 14 and following. Even so, this is Paul again to Corinth. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. And it's this whole passage about, should you get paid for it? And he was saying, I'm not going to get paid for it because I don't want anybody saying that, you know, we paid you, you owe us. I won't take your money if that's going to be a problem. But he said, those who preach the gospel must live of the gospel. Then verse 15, but I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things that it should be done so to me, for it would be better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. I am free, but I make myself a servant. For what purpose? That I may win the more. What is his motivation? It's love from God, for other people. And to the Jews, I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak, I became as weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some, a spiritual chameleon in the best of terms. Now this I do, why? For the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. He is passionate about being a Christian. He is passionate about proclaiming Christ. And I'm telling you guys, personally, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I'm not saying you should shoot me, but if something happened and I could not preach anymore, God might as well come get me. It would be devastating because it is a passion. George Burns said, I'd rather be a failure at something I love than a success at something I hate. The last passion, the passion of the Christian, is a love for God, others, and self. Look at Luke 10:25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, this lawyer testing Jesus, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. What does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind? Let me tell you something. I believe that is a passionate love, not out of control emotion only. That is a love that drives you to live a certain way, to love a certain way, to do things you would not do. When you go before God alone in your closet, riding down the road, when you go before the God of the universe and you declare to Him, I love you with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my soul, with all of my strength. I love you completely, God. You're going to worship. There's no way around it. And if you go to God that way, yielding everything you have and everything that you are, He is going to take what you have and who you are and say, now watch this. You have yielded yourself to me, not just a ticket to heaven, but you have made me the Lord, the boss of your life. Get out of the way. I'm going to use you. And you will do things you would never have done before. There's a boldness, there's a confidence, not a self-confidence, but a confidence where God says, speak now and you speak.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Look at Deuteronomy 10 in closing, chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you today for your good. These are simple things. Even in the Old Testament, it was simple. What does He require of you? This is not rocket science. To fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and something very passionate, just to love Him. You know what? Marriages that are in trouble a lot of times. If a woman knows that no matter what kind of screw up the guy is, if she knows deep down inside, this guy loves me and he's really basically on my side. I picked a doof, but other than that, he loves me. then a woman will go a million miles with that doof because she knows he loves me. And God looks down at us, and you know what? We are all doofs. We are all screw-ups. We have all fallen short. We've missed the mark. And God looks down, and he says, you know what? Just love me. I will be patient with you. I will be merciful with you. I have been all those things. For my sake, God saying, for my sake, for your sake, and everybody else's sake, love me, fear me, obey me, trust me, walk with me. I've got your best interest at heart. Let me show you what I made you to do and help you do that. And even when things are rough, even when you suffer for the sake of Christ or because you did something stupid, you're going to suffer. Let me help you through it. Do not leave me out of the equation. Love me with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Love me. Be passionate about me, not all this other stuff. The passion of the Christ, I believe, results in the passion of the Christian. Whether it's suffering, whether it's driven to do something for God, or whether it's just the love that you have from Him and for Him and for others, it will change your life when it's working.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.